As was mentioned last week, we began a series on the life of Gideon, and we turn again to the book of Judges, and we will read Judges chapter 6, the first 16 verses. Judges 6, the first 16 verses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And our text for this morning is the verses 11 to 16. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizriite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And what follows to verse 16. The Lord is going to meet with Gideon. He's going to use him to deliver Israel from her enemies, the Midianites. You know that Israel has done evil in the sight of the Lord, and because of her sin, he punishes them, as he had threatened he would do. Well, Israel, experiencing these punishments, is moved to cry to the Lord. But their crying, as we saw last time, was not a cry over their depraved hearts, but a cry over their distressed condition only. And the Lord, in his mercy, nevertheless, still sends a prophet. And that prophet brings a convicting message. And that message which he brings cannot be brought any other way. And it must be said plainly that Israel has disobeyed the Lord. And that's how the sermon ends. Ye would not obey the Lord. And you would think in light of such a sermon, and you would think in light of such disobedience by Israel, that the Lord would send His full judgment upon Israel. Perhaps send an angel to slay Israel, as He did in Egypt in the last plague. The Lord does send an angel, but He doesn't come to slay in judgment. At least not yet. But He comes to raise up a deliverer, Gideon. And let's look at the call of Gideon. Our theme is Gideon called to deliver Israel. First, Gideon's complaint. Secondly, Gideon's commission. And thirdly, Gideon's comfort. Gideon called to deliver Israel. First, Gideon's complaint. Secondly, Gideon's commission. And thirdly, Gideon's comfort. When we come to the account before us, we meet Gideon. Now, what do we know of him? Who is he? Well, he is called Gideon. And that name means hacker. Hewer. You know, someone who hacks down, who hews down something. And soon Gideon will be called to hack down the altar of Baal. Gideon, he comes from the tribe of Manasseh, living in the promised land in Ophrah. He belongs to quite a well-to-do family. For in verse 26, we see that his family has servants, and Gideon makes use of 10 of these servants when he cuts down the altar of Baal. What about Gideon's family? How many are there in his family that fear God? Not many. His family has abandoned the Lord, and they have come to worship Baal. It's his own father that has erected an altar for Baal and an Asherah pole, another idol. And that Baal altar and Asherah pole is all on the property of Gideon's father. It seems like the house of Gideon's father is the center of the Baal worship in Ophrah. In other words, if you lived in the town of Ophrah and you wanted to worship Baal, you knew where to go. To the house of Joash, Gideon's father. But not Gideon. He did not worship Baal. Maybe he was the only exception in Ophrah. Gideon is a believer, you see. You see, the Lord still has a remnant that fears the Lord, and Gideon belongs to that remnant. How come? Well, because the Lord has graciously begun to work in Gideon's heart. And when he began to work and how he began to work, we don't know. But that he worked in Gideon's heart in a saving way, we do know. Well, when we find Gideon, what is he doing? Gideon's at work. He's doing the work of a farmer. We're told that he's threshing wheat in a wine press. Threshing wheat in a wine press. Normally, that's not the place where you thresh wheat. Normally. But these are not normal times. The Midianites have invaded the land. They've taken all the harvest for themselves and for their animals and anyone who could get a hold of some of the wheat that he could thresh yet and he could cut down. And then if you had some wheat, then you could not thresh that wheat in the open. For if you would be seen, surely the Midianites would come and they would take the farmer's little portion and the farmer would have no food at all. So Gideon is in a wine press. Not on the hilltop, but in the valley somewhere, all by himself, beating the wheat with a stick. It's hard work, because he's doing it the hard way, but he has to do it that way. And when we meet Gideon here, then we find him a depressed man. He is cast down. You could see it maybe in his posture. shoulders are hunched over. Yes, it's true, Gideon is a believer. He is one of the remnant of Israel, but his faith has become very weak. There's not much of the flame of faith flickering in his life. And there he is, working, sweating, depressed, and scared. He's all alone. Or is he all alone? We read of the angel of the Lord coming and sitting under an oak right by the winepress. Who is this angel? Well, he's a messenger. He's a messenger from heaven. And when you read further in the verses before us, then you realize that he is a special messenger. Verses 4, 14 and 15 identify him as the Lord himself. And when you listen to what he says, then you realize that this messenger has quite some authority. Who can this be? It is the Lord Jesus himself, coming before his incarnation in Bethlehem in the form of a man here to Gideon, as he does more often in the Old Testament. And there he is, right by Gideon, under an oak. Gideon doesn't know that he is there when he first comes. But suddenly, Gideon realizes that there is someone there. Who? Gideon doesn't realize at first, the Lord only going to reveal himself slowly to him. And when Gideon realizes this, it must have been a shock to him. There's a stranger nearby, and that stranger is sitting, and that stranger speaks, and he speaks strange words. At least to Gideon, these are strange words. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's the name that he gives Gideon. He doesn't call him by his name Gideon, but he calls him thou mighty man of valor. Literally, warrior. An elite warrior of an elite army. The title which also characterized Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army in 2 Kings 5, verse 1. But when you look at Gideon, does he look like such an elite warrior? Does he seem strong? There he is, hiding, going about his work, and he's scared. Still the Lord calls him such, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon is going to have to be such a mighty man of valor in order to defeat the Midianites, in order to fight against this enormous people. But how will he become such a warrior? And when will he become such a warrior? When the Lord makes him a warrior. When the Lord gives him the needed strength and might. And when will that be? Well, the Lord can give that strength and might to Gideon at any time, can't he? He can make the weakling strong. And that's also what the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 also tells us in verses 32 to 34. What shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Out of weakness were made strong. And Gideon is included among them. Weakness is what Gideon is in himself, yet made strong. How? By Gideon making himself strong and becoming and training? No. Someone else makes him strong. Who? The Lord. Gideon is not so strong of himself, but the Lord will make him strong. And the Lord is able to do that, can't he? He can make something that is not the case. Romans 4, verse 17 speaks of God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God can make the weakling strong. How? By His word. And so, though Gideon may not understand it all, and Gideon doesn't grasp it, he is a mighty man of valor. No, Gideon doesn't understand this. And neither does Gideon understand the other words. The Lord is with thee. Those are words which Gideon doesn't understand at all. And when Gideon hears these words, he begins to complain. If the Lord is with us, why then this? Why then are the Midianites coming year after year over them like a wave? Why is this happening? And where are all the miracles of the Lord which He performed in bringing us out of Egypt? If the Lord is with us, why has He abandoned us to Midian? The oppression is plain, isn't it? At least it's plain to Gideon. It's obvious to him as he sits there in that hot wine press doing his work, and he's doing his work in the hard way. And it is as if when Gideon says all of this, and he brings his lament, that you see his heart sinking in despair. Faith has sunk low. Gideon complains. He's cast down. And then you can ask, well, was this right of Gideon to be so? Or was this not a wrong complaint of Gideon? And what about Israel's sin? Did not Gideon reckon with that? I think Gideon reckoned with that. A true believer reckons with sin. And you can ask the questions whether this was a right of Gideon to do, but I think that the Holy Spirit would have us leave it at this, that this is the lament of Gideon. This is Gideon's case. You get a glimpse into his heart, and he cannot deny it. The Lord has forsaken us. In the face of hearing the Lord is with thee, Gideon says, it seems like the Lord is not with us. It's past. His presence was something of the past. His miracles, something of the past. And Gideon doesn't hold out any hope for miracles in the present. His faith has dropped low. And sometimes that can be the case in the child of God too. And that can be the case that a child of God also has to lament. And he also has to grieve. For he looks at the condition of the church, and he can look at the state of the affairs in the church, and he knows that the Lord has worked in mighty ways in the past, and he knows that very well he has heard stories of the Lord work in converting sinners in the past. But then a child of God can fear that the miracles are something of the past and not of the present anymore. And then unbelief sets in. And then faith sinks low. And then you become discouraged. And then you can lament over exactly the same thing that Gideon also laments over. The Lord hath forsaken us. And Gideon, if you could speak to him just without knowing the experience of Gideon and without being someone downcast, then you can say at Gideon, Gideon, listen to the word of the angel. And the Lord is right there with you, Gideon. The message announces it. And the Lord is present. But Gideon feels the Lord's absence. And that can be the case with the child of God too. That the Lord comes. And He comes with His word of blessing. And He comes with His favor. And He comes with His presence. And at that time, the child of God begins to mourn the absence of the Lord. Then the absence of the Lord in his experience makes him grieve. It hurts. No, the ungodly, they don't mourn over this. They don't mourn over the absence of the Lord. They don't feel this truth with pain. But the godly do. And the godly sometimes feel it at times when the Lord is there and when the Lord is spoken. And what does that show? It shows that faith has sunk low. Gideon laments. And what do you do when you lament? Well, sure, you've met those people who lament. And those people who lament like this, they think that that lament is the last word. But Gideon doesn't have the last word. The angel speaks again. And we look at that secondly, Gideon's commission. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? There's a peculiar thing that is written here by the writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He tells us something. And the Lord looked upon him. What does that mean? What kind of a look was that? Was this just a glance? No, I think this was more than just a glance. Remember, Gideon's faith has sunk low. And the Lord needs to kindle the flame of faith in Gideon's soul. And for you see, the Lord has a purpose with Gideon. He's going to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord to deliver Israel from Midian. But then Gideon also needs to have his soul fixed on the Word of God. Not on his feelings. Not on his thoughts. And so Gideon needs to hear his Word and believe His Word. And so the Lord, He looks upon Gideon. His eyes are upon Gideon. And Gideon feels this look. And it makes him feel the seriousness of His Word. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Gideon has a task to do. He has the task of delivering the Midianites, the Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. And he must go in this thy might. Now when you read that, you might think Gideon is told here to rely upon his own strength. No. He is not told to rely on his own strength, to rely on his own resources, to go in his own power. When a sinner has to come to the Lord, and when the sinner is called to open unto me, the sinner cannot do that of himself. He has no strength. He has no resources. But the Lord does not say to Gideon, Go in thy might. Go in this thy might. This might that the Lord is going to give Gideon. And the Lord tells the certainty, Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Thou shalt save them. And the Lord tells him in whose authority he goes, Have not I sent thee? And so, sent by the Lord, and in the strength of the Lord, Gideon can go. Gideon here receives a commission. His task. What's his task, boys and girls? His task is to rescue Israel and defeat Midian. He is called to deliver Israel. Now what do we learn here? Well, we are prone when we are looking at this account here to focus on Gideon. But we need to look at what the Lord is doing. The Lord is raising up a deliverer. The Lord is raising up Gideon. And Gideon's call is to drive out the Midianites from the land of Israel. And that's Israel's need. For year after year, she is experiencing the ruin that Midian brings to her land. But it is the Lord bringing a deliverer. Not Israel. Not Gideon on his own accord. It's the Lord who commissions him. And why does the Lord do this? Does the Lord raise up a deliverer because Israel is so good? No, the people have done evil in the eyes of the Lord and they deserve punishment. And yes, it is true that Israel has cried to the Lord out of their misery, but it was not a cry of repentance, as we have said already. Still, the Lord raises up a deliverer. That's right. And so the Lord is showing us something of Himself. He is showing us something of His pity for an unworthy people. He's showing us something of His grace for an undeserving people. And that's the case every time and again, isn't it? Every time the Lord raises up a deliverer, then when He raises Ehud, or when He raises Barak, or Jephthah, or Samson, therein He is showing something of His mercy, something of His compassion for a people who are not deserving it. And isn't that the case also with another deliverer? And then I think of the great deliverer, the Lord Jesus. Why would God promise Him? Why would the Lord send Him? Was it because Adam and Eve, after they fell into sin, because they sought the Lord, and because Adam and Eve begged the Lord for a Savior? Was that why? No. Adam and Eve fled from the presence of the Lord, and they did not even cry to the Lord. And now it is true there is a cry here in Judges 6, but it is not a true and a wholehearted cry of repentance. And so it could be said to Israel, Israel, if you were in your right frame of mind, and if you were to see all the evil that you have done before the Lord, and if you were to see that your cry is really a cry of selfishness, that you are not seeking the glory of the Lord in this call, then you would see that what you deserve is that an angel come and slay with the sword of vengeance every one. But God doesn't come with an angel of the Lord to slay in His vengeance. Comes to raise up a deliverer. And He raises up that deliverer already before this account, for He is the one that went into this home of Gideon's father, which was the center of Baal worship. And He began to deliver Gideon from the bondage of idolatry. He worked in Gideon's heart, and He came here to Gideon and called him to deliver Israel from Midian. And so in the light of the New Testament, the Lord, He sent His Son. And therein He shows His mercy. He shows His compassion. He shows therein His love. Did He send Christ, dear people, because of your cries? Because of your sincere hearts? Cannot God's people relate to this, to the people of Israel here, their evil deeds? Their half-hearted cries, their lack of expectation, their deadness. But still the Lord did not withhold His Son, but He sent His Son. And the New Testament tells us that God, He commendeth therewith His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God supplied a deliverer. God shows His grace. And the second thing that you can see here is not only what the Lord does, give deliverer, but when the Lord does it. When does the Lord do all this? Well, when a believer like Gideon thinks that the Lord is no longer at work. When faith has sunk low. And isn't that the case that on the darkest pages of history, the Lord has still been at work? And He has also in this account raised up a Daniel, and He has raised up another account of Samuel when the times were dark. And isn't that also the case that when you lose hope in your soul, and when you can find no salvation anymore, and you've given up hope, then the Lord comes to work. Sometimes He works when you think He cannot work anymore. It is now too late. When you realize that deliverance is not just a matter of course, and when you find that all hope is gone for your soul, that's when the Lord comes to work. No, I know that is not an easy time, but it is necessary for such a losing of all hope and expectation in ourselves, for then salvation becomes a miracle. And then God receives all the honor. Is there anyone who is in distress? Is there anyone like Gideon in need? Is there anyone who has given up hope that the Lord will yet work? Maybe you are in physical distress. in your body. Or maybe you are in spiritual distress in your soul. You are hoping for a word of mercy, but you don't know if it may be too late for you. Well, then you may know that the Lord is still at work. Also in dark times, also when in your soul it is the darkest time, but He is at work. So that salvation is a miracle, and that He receives all the glory. And still today the Lord is at work. The Son of God is still gathering a people from the fallen human race, and He is gathering also in our midst a people chosen unto everlasting life. His work of salvation has not stopped, but it goes on. Also in dark days. Now we wish to listen thirdly to Gideon's comfort. The Lord has called Gideon, and He has called him to deliver Israel from Midian. But Gideon has some objections. He feels unfit. How can I save Israel? How will I do this? My family, he says, is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And you see what Gideon is saying is, there are several strikes against me. For one thing, my family is poor, or literally weak, in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house, meaning that he is the youngest in his home and the least important. But is this all true, Gideon? I mean, maybe you are the youngest, Gideon, but that your family is the poorest in Manasseh, or the weakest? Don't you have at least 10 servants? And do you maybe not have more servants? Well, let's suppose they had 50 servants. What could Gideon do with 50 servants against Midian, who are like clouds of grasshoppers? Unfit is how Gideon feels. How often don't God's people feel unfit? There they are called to be a husband, or they are called to be a wife, called to be a father or a mother, called to this task, called perhaps in this week of VBS to teach. And how often don't you feel unfit? And you feel several strikes against you. Well, the Lord, He hears these objections from Gideon, and He knows Gideon's weaknesses even better than Gideon knows himself. Nevertheless, His commission is unchanged. But He comes with a promise. And this is Gideon's comfort. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And when He says, thou shalt smite them as one man, He means, Gideon, victory is assured. You will smite them as if you are smiting not against a cloud of grasshoppers, but as if you were fighting against one man. I will be with thee. What a precious word. The Lord promises that He will go with Gideon. And Gideon will not stand alone. Gideon will not go alone. He promises His presence. I will be with thee. But somebody says, would there not be many questions in Gideon's mind? Like, how is Gideon supposed to do this? How is he supposed to attack the Midianites? And how will this all go? And when must he begin? And where must he begin? And who will go with him? None of these things are told to Gideon. And on top of that still doesn't change the fact that there is no food, and that Israel is impoverished. And Gideon is called to quite a task here. Yes, it's true. Do you know what words Gideon needs to hear? The words Gideon needs to hear are these words: I will be with thee. That is what Gideon needs to cling to. That was the word that the Lord gave to Moses when Moses was called to lead Israel out of Egypt, and Moses had all kinds of objections. And the Lord said, I will be with thee. And with Joshua too, when he was called to lead the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, as I was with Moses, the Lord said, so I will be with thee. And this also is the word for Gideon. I will be with thee. And that is what is needed. And if you look closely at our text, then you see that three times the angel addresses Gideon. And three times the message is about the same. The message does not change much. Three times the Lord promised His presence. The first time He says, the Lord is with thee. Gideon, you are not alone. The second time He says, have not I sent thee? And the meaning is, Gideon, you will not go alone. You will go in my power and in my presence. And a third time He says, I will be with thee. And a third time Gideon may hear, Gideon, you will not go alone. And that is still the word of the Lord to you, dear children of God. In the face of many questions, in the face of many struggles, and in the face of maybe also the darkness, and when you don't see your way anymore, and when you say, I don't know it anymore, and you can have many questions, specific questions, how will this go in my life, and why has it gone that way, and when, and where to begin, and how, and God says this, I will be with thee. And that's sometimes all that the Lord says. But when He says that, then you can go on again. No, it's true, the Lord doesn't answer all your specific questions that you have, the how longs, the whys, the whens, the wheres. But He does answer one question that you have. Who will be with you? I will be with you. And that is enough. And then it can also be for others that you have the answers to all kinds of questions. And you have all kinds of specific answers to specific questions. But you do not have the Lord with you. Then you miss everything. For then you have no God to help you. And you have no friend at your side. And then you have no peace. Then you have no future. Then you have no heaven. For that is what heaven is. I am with you. And you with me. And then maybe you say, time after again when you hear the word of God, oh, but that doesn't matter to me. The word of the Lord, I will be with you, that doesn't matter. As long as I have this in my life, and as long as I have that in my life, and those are your idols, I know. And you're unwilling to part with those idols, I know. And Israel in the days of Gideon could say, but we still have the Baal pole, and that Baal pole gives us comfort, and it gives us some kind of hope, and we can still pray to this. But what comfort can a Baal pole give? And what comfort can your idols give? And what can they do for you in the day of distress? Can they give you joy in the darkest times? What will they do for you in the hour of death? To be in the hour of death without the Lord is something I wish upon no one. And so if that is your case, you miss everything. But the Lord's present with you, that can make the darkest night light. And that can give joy in sorrow. And that can lift you up when you are cast down. And that can give a little relief in great pain of heart. I am with you. Will you then not seek this?
from the Lord. Maybe you are here and you say, oh, I need these things. Oh, that the Lord would meet with me and speak these words to me. Well, the Lord may do so. He drew near to a sinner like Gideon. And Gideon was discouraged and downcast. And Gideon did not see the mercies of the Lord anymore. And he thought that the work of the Lord was something of the past. And the Lord drew near to him. And he can draw near to someone just like Gideon still today. And he does draw near. And in this service he has been drawing near. And he speaks again. I am with thee. Then let all discouragements fall away. And take his word to heart. Rest on his word. Believe him. For we are not to look by sight. And we are never done looking by faith. Yet, the time of looking by sight, that is coming closer, I know. But as long as the Lord tarries, then we must look by faith. And we must listen by faith. And we must live by faith. And so hear his word. I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hear his word, I will not forsake the work of my hands. I am with you, poor and needy one. He knows your discouragements. He knows that you feel all alone. He knows your needs. But he says, I am with you. No, that doesn't mean all your questions are answered. But I am with you is enough for Gideon. And I am with you is enough for you. There is something else yet. That the Lord speaks three times to Gideon. Three times to Gideon he spoke, I am with you. My presence is with you. There's something else the Lord speaks three times too. And that has to do with Gideon's strength. You see, the first time the Lord speaks with Gideon, then he calls Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. The second time the Lord speaks with Gideon, then the Lord commands Gideon, go in this thy strength. And the third time the Lord speaks to Gideon, then he says, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So mighty will you be, Gideon, that you will be victor. Strength and Gideon. That's what the Lord speaks three times to Gideon. Now, would others say of Gideon that he is a strong man? Most likely not. Would others in the town of Ophrah say that Gideon would be a good deliverer? Most likely not. But the Lord calls him such. And the Lord makes him such. And the Lord would show this to be the case too. Gideon would be victorious over the Midianites. And so there is the call, you are strong. There is the command, you must be strong and defeat the Midianites. And there is the promise, you shall have the victory. No, we are not in exactly the same place as Gideon. And none of us are called to deliver Israel as Gideon was called. But there is, I believe, a parallel here to the Christian life, isn't there? And think only of strength. And turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. There you have in the last chapter, verse 10. Reference to the whole armor of God. The Lord speaks, Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And on it goes, speaking about the armor of God. And when the Lord here is calling for the Christian to put on the armor of God, that means that God has called him already a soldier. He has taken him into the army of God, and he makes him a soldier. Now, does a Christian look like much of a soldier to the world? No. Does the Christian look strong in the eyes of the world? No. Does the Christian feel strong in the face of the temptations and in the assaults of the devil? No, he feels weak. But yet the Lord calls him a soldier. But there's also more here, for the Christian is not only called a soldier, but he is also called and commanded to be a soldier and to fight the battle. Be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. And that's the command then to fight the good fight of faith. That is the command then to wage battle against sin, Satan, and the world. And there's a third thing too. For it ends with, in verse 17, in verse 14, stand therefore, 13, excuse me. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's the promise that the Christian in the final day will stand. He will stand victorious. Having made himself strong? No. The strength comes from the Lord. The Lord gives him the needed strength to fight. Or if you want to take another example of different than a warrior and different than the call to be strong, you can think of a Christian simply as a follower. For that is what the Lord calls his people, doesn't he? He calls them followers, disciples. Now, are they such good followers? Do they follow Christ by nature? Not at all. And what do others say of the disciples of the Lord Jesus? Do they say that they are such good followers? Most likely not. Still, the Lord calls a people followers. But then not only does he call them such, he commands them to follow him. And he calls them, commands them to live as he lived, and to hate what he hates, and to love what he loves, and to follow his footsteps. That's the command. But then there's also a promise, isn't there? There's a promise for his followers. You shall follow me to where I am. I will bring you with me to glory. And you know, don't you, dear children of God, without him I will not arrive. I will not be safe at last, but he gives the promise. And what's the point? God will have all the glory. God will have all the glory in Gideon defeating the Midianites, because it is not something that he has from himself. It's not something he could do of himself. It was God who made him strong, and it was God who gave him the victory, and so it will be with his people. We don't have anything of ourselves. It makes us needy, and it makes us dependent upon him. But faithful is he that calleth, he will also do it. And so God will have all the glory. Amen.